Jasper is down. Then he dropped the empty gun on the road behind him and climbed inside the Yukon. Lack of replacement ammunition meant that Phase 1 was over and that Phase 2 was about to begin. Chapter 59. Reacher drove the Yukon 100 yards beyond the mouth of the driveway, and then he turned right onto the open dirt. Lumps and stones squirmed and pattered under his tires. He drove a wide circle until he was level with the compound itself, and then he stopped, facing the houses, the engine idling, his foot on the brake. From his new angle, he saw that Jacob's south wall was so far untouched by the fire, but judging by the backdrop of smoke and flame, the north end of the house was burning. Ahead, and far to the left, he could see Dorothy Coe's truck, waiting 600 yards west in the fields, similarly nose in and pent up and expectant, like a gun dog, panting and crouching. He raised the phone to his ear and said,
"I'm end on now. What do you see?"
Dorothy Coe said,
"Jonas's house is about gone. All that's left is the chimney, really. The bricks are glowing red, and Jasper's house is on its way. His propane just blew up."
"How about Jacob's?"
"It's burning north to south. Pretty fierce. Has to be getting hot in there."
"Stand by, then. It won't be long now."
It was less than a minute. Dorothy Coe said,
"They're out."
And a second later, Reacher saw Jacob and Seth Duncan spill around the back corner of the house. They ran, ducked down, and bent over, zigzagging, afraid of the rifle they thought was still out there. They made it to one of the remaining pickup trucks, and Reacher saw them open the doors from a crouch and then climb in and hunker down low. Behind them, the north end of Jacob's house swelled and bellied and came down, quite slowly and gracefully, with sparks shooting up and out like fireworks, with burning timbers tumbling and spreading like lava from a volcano, reaching almost to the boundary fence, a vertical mass made horizontal. And then the south end of the house fell slowly backward and collapsed into the fire, leaving only the chimney upright. Reacher asked,
"How does it look?"
Dorothy Coe answered,
"Just like you said it would."
Reacher saw Jacob Duncan at the wheel of the pickup, shorter and broader than Seth in the passenger seat. Seth still had his splint taped to his face. The truck backed up 10 yards, almost into the fire behind it, and then it drove forward and hit the fence, butting against it, trying to break through. The pickup's front bumper bent out of shape, and the hood crumpled a little, and the fence shuddered and rattled, but it held. Deep holes for the posts, sturdy timbers, strong rails. A big production. The law of unintended consequences. Jacob Duncan tried again. He backed up, much less than 10 yards this time, because the fire was spreading behind him, and then he shot forward once more. The truck hit the fence, and he and Seth bounced around in the cab like rag dolls, but the fence held. Reacher saw Jacob glance backward again. There was no space for a longer run-up. The fire and the mean allocation of land did not permit it. Jacob changed his tactics. He maneuvered until the nose of the truck was exactly halfway between two posts, and then he came in slow, in a low gear, pushing the grill into the rails, firming up the contact, then easing down on the gas, pushing harder and harder, hoping that sustained pressure would achieve what a sharp blow had not. It didn't. The rails bent, and they bowed and they trembled, but they held. Then the pickup's rear tires lost traction and spun and howled in the dirt, and the fence pushed back and the truck eased off 6 inches. The doors opened up again, and Jacob and Seth spilled out and hustled over and tried the Cadillac instead. A heavier car, better torque, better power, but worse tires, built for quiet and comfort out on the open road, not for traction over loose surfaces. Seth drove, hardly backing up at all for fear of putting his gas tank right in the flames behind him. Then he rolled
4 feet forward, and the chrome grill hit the rails and the tires spun almost immediately. Game over.
"Here they come," Reacher said. Behind them, the last vestigial support under the blazing structure gave way, and the burning pile settled slowly and gently into a lower and wider shape, blowing gales of sparks and gases outward. Big, curled flames danced free, burning the air itself, twisting and splitting and then vanishing. Heat distorted the air, and gouts of fire hurled themselves 100 feet up. Jacob and Seth shrank back and shielded their faces with their arms and ducked away. They climbed the fence. They dropped into the field. They ran. Chapter 60. Jacob and Seth Duncan ran 30 yards, a straight line away from the fire, pure animal instinct. And then they stopped and glanced back and spun in place, alone and insignificant in the empty acres. They saw the Park Yukon as if for the first time, and they stared at it in confusion, because it was one of theirs, driven by one of their own damn boys, and the guy wasn't coming to help them. Then they saw Dorothy Coe's truck far off in another direction, and they glanced back at the Yukon, and they understood. They looked at each other one last time, and they ran again, in different directions, Jacob one way and Seth another. Reacher raised his phone. He said, "If I'm 9 o'clock on the dial, and you're 12, then Jacob is heading for 10, and Seth is heading for 7. Seth is mine. Jacob is yours." Dorothy Coe said,
"Understood."
Reacher took his foot off the brake and steered one-handed, following a lazy, clockwise curve, heading first north and then east, bumping across the washboard surface, feeling the heat of the fires on the glass next to his face. Ahead of him, Seth was stumbling through the dirt, heading for the road, still 70 yards short of getting there. Reacher saw something in his right hand, and then he heard Dorothy Coe's voice on the phone.
"Jacob has a gun."
Reacher asked, "What kind?"
"A handgun. A revolver, I think. We can't see. We're bouncing around too much."
"Slow down and take a good look."
10 long seconds later,
"We think it's a regular six-shooter."
"Has he fired it yet?"
"No."
"Okay. Back off, but keep him in sight. He's got nowhere to go. Let him get tired."
"Understood."